said it a while. Let me see. All right. Welcome to Corn Scene. Bienvenidos todos a Corn Scene. Por favor, discúlpenos por estar un poco tarde, pero tuvimos una pequeña aventura that happened to us in the metro. Pero escuchen este archive y ahorita regresamos con ustedes. You are listening to Cure Radio here in Los Angeles, the most unruly internet radio throughout the internet, of course. And we are pioneers, actually, of internet radio. We started off in 2000, right after all the hype of the 2Y2K and all that BS. But anyways, KILLradio.org. Look us up. Read about us. But most importantly, listen right now tonight. We have a couple of guests, too. We have Mario. Come here, Mario. Take a mic. Say hello. And his friend.
What's up?
Yo.
Hey, this is Juan, also in Los Angeles, here to have a good time with you tonight.
All right, well, for the whiskey, man. Shit. Claire's on her way as well, so enjoy this Corn Scene, and then we're going to go live right now on you. Bye.
Chacun peut me voir. Je suis partout à la fois, brisé en mille éclats de voix. Autour de moi, j'entends rire les poupées de chiffon, celles qui dansent sur mes chansons. Chacun peut me voir. Je suis partout à la fois, brisé en mille éclats de voix. Seule parfois je soupire, je me dis à quoi bon chanter ainsi l'amour sans raison.
Come right through to the other side.
Okay, time travelers of all types and shapes and specialties. Somebody's asking me here in the studio, what's my specialty? Well, I'll tell you what my specialty is. There is no specialty. We make it up as we go. But anyways, yeah, we do have somewhat of a format, but really not that defined. But I'll tell you, tonight we might be getting a call from Karen Sandell, and her company is doing a special on tribute to Miles Davis, because he would have been 80 years old this Friday. So don't be surprised if we get a call, and I hope to find some Miles Davis here in the studio. But meanwhile, I want to announce that there's a lot of good shows happening. Super is doing something, and I'll get the exact information in a little bit. But she played here on Consing for a Halloween special one time, and I'm going to play you a couple of songs from her set.
Say, man.
Very special set.
Let's do the Wombat
Super.
Twist.
Of course, she of the Fuss Club from Texas, but she's local now here in Los Angeles. So, what's going on? All right, hold on. We'll come back to it right now. Yeah. Okay, Consigned listeners, wherever you are, pour your cocktail of choice. We happen to be drinking whiskey here at Cure Radio on Consigned. Right, gentlemen? Salud. Yeah. Something about whiskey, man. Not a club. Yes. Consigned.
Beware of the blob, it creeps and leaps and glides and slides across the floor, right through the door and all around the wall. A splotch, a blotch, be careful of the blob. Beware of the blob, it creeps and leaps and glides and slides across the floor, right through the door and all around the wall. A splotch, a blotch, be careful of the blob. Beware of the blob, it creeps and leaps and glides and slides across the floor, right through the door and all around the wall. A splotch, a blotch, be careful of the blob. Beware of the blob, it creeps and leaps and glides and slides across the floor, right through the door and all around the wall. A splotch, a blotch, be careful of the blob. Beware of the blob, it creeps.
Oh, right, ladies and gentlemen. Some gentleman here was wondering about that music there. What era? I think it's from the early 60s. We're going to have Super back here to do a special show. Anyways, that sounds kind of spooky. All right, I'm going to put something more beatnik, groovy for you right now from her. Here we go.
Say, man, let's do the Wombat Twist.
Yeah. Pay attention to the lyrics. Down in the village there in New York. All right. We'll come back to you in information, but listen to the tune, groove out, do the twist, do whatever you gotta do on your shag rug.
My way out mind started to tip. I knew my mind would be like lead when this chick would twist up to my pad. I said, say, Dad, dig over there. That twisting chick with the sweet like hair. He said, I clue you in on that. She lives in the village. She's twisting wombat.
across the street. My mind was like bongos with a twist in me. Along came a bus and it ran me flat. So I never got to meet that chick wombat. Now I'm in Beatnik Happy Hunting Ground, where the twisting chicks are all around. When I got hit, wombat ran to see. The bus backed up, now she's here with me.
Wombat, wombat. Wombat, wombat. Twisting wombat.
Now if you got a twist both night and day, and you wouldn't dig it any other way, well, bop up here and twist with us. Just step in front of the next big bus.
All right, gentlemen and ladies and children of all ages and spaces and time travelers of all. Oh, shit. Sorry. Woo, we're back. All right, let this play again. We're kind of on a loop, time travel loop on Conscene here. If you want to call us up at 213-252-0998. I also want to announce that on May 28th, Sunday, Safari Sam's, Kill Radio, Corporate Radio, Kill Corporate Radio, Safari Sam's, and our very own, shall I call him our very own? Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, Johnny Radio of Kill Radio is presenting a benefit for Safari Sam's called Cyber Sex Cabaret at Safari Sam's this Sunday. 8-Bit, DJ Swamp, Alpha Shimeo, bunch of other people, concept, dance party, sex advice, puppetry, and sex toys. Yeah. Go check it out, Safari Sam's. Also, cigarette and alcohol Friday at the Here Gallery. Ooh, I like the flyer. Cigarettes and alcohol at the Here Gallery. You know, be there. You gotta know where the Here Gallery is. I'm not gonna give up. Or should I say? All right, Beverly and Alvarado. I've been to one of the best parties this year there at the Here Gallery this year. Oh, I like that place. Okay. All right. So we'll get back to you with the music right now here on Conscene Kill Radio Los Angeles.
Beware of the blob, it creeps and leaps and glides and slides across the floor, right through the door and all around the wall. A splotch, a blotch, be careful of the blob. Beware of the blob, it creeps and leaps and glides and slides across the floor, right through the door and all around the wall. A splotch, a blotch, be careful of the blob. Beware of the blob, it creeps and leaps.
Sid is coming by fire, my friend, and I desire to live again. If you hear me, let me know.
Conscene.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was our favorite ladies, Go Betty Go. Now we're playing something directly from MySpace, Tambourine Halo. Choice of Mario here on Kill Radio, Los Angeles. That's why I love MySpace. That was Tambourine Halo. Thanks, Mario. Popsicle Lady. All right, so next. Oh, test. Next up, I have my favorite band, The Flaming Stars. This is from Named and Shamed. Named and Shamed. Their latest. And this is She's Gone. This is Consigne.
She's gone. said she wouldn't stay long.
This song has one of my favorite lyrics of all time. Join the army, see what's the rest of the world. while you still have the time. But you know what?
You'd be right on.
Not to get all moral on you or anything, but or morose. Don't join the army. Go to college or do whatever you gotta do in the city. Live. Don't get killed in a useless war. Anyways, that's my favorite band. I got asked where they're from. They're from Camden in London. And of course, the lead is Max Desharn, one of my heroes. He's also a writer for Mojo. He's written two books as well. One on the locations of movies, gangster noir cinema, American noir cinema. All right, so... Oh, and the other one is a hipster dictionary. All right, we have Juan here in the studio who's going to introduce the next band for you all here on Conscene.
Yeah, hi there, audience. This is Juan talking to you. I'm going to introduce to you the Mystery Jets, one of my favorite new bands to coming out of the UK. The tracks The Boy Who Ran Away, Think Block Party Next Generation Remixed. Hope you enjoy it all. They're coming from the land of whiskey and clouds, but you hear the exuberance coming through. Here you go.
Say all I know.
ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank my guests for introducing me to this wonderful music here for you all. I'm sure a lot of you listeners are aware of music like this. Juan, tell us a little bit briefly about this band. How did you first find out about them?
Yeah, you know, MP3 blogs out there, one of the best ways to find music in addition to internet radio. And I came across this band on a great web blog you may want to check out, folks. It's called Music for Robots. I highly recommend it for some of like the newest and the most freshest electro clash and electronic music out there. Music for robots.
Robots.
Google that.
Music right. for ravers. No. But retired ravers. Actually, there's a show called Music for Nimrods with we played him before here, but he's like the best DJ in LA, according to the LA Weekly. He used to do a show, Reverend Dan, Music from Nimrod. So I recommend that show highly. And the LA Weekly 2 years ago gave him the best DJ of Los Angeles. He used to have a show on KPFK and now on KXOU. But anyways, let me get back here to Con Sin, and I'm going to play a song, and I want to dedicate it to this lady that turned me on to it. Not to this specific song, but she alerted me to this band. These are the Magnetic Fields, and this is number 4. I want to find somebody that I could dance with. I don't know if that's the correct title. I hope it is, but yeah, you're listening to Con Sin Care Radio, and these are the Magnetic Fields. Ladies and gentlemen that are listening, still here with us. Hey, you know what? We're just pondering here some of the happenings that are happening around our world here in the United States. I asked Mario how he kept his even keel, you know, mind and body and spirit and everything in this chaotic world, you know, because what's up with, you know, I know that the issues are hardcore, you know, the immigration, y todo lo demás, whatever you feel about it, but what's up with these other people? Like, there's this gay lady that came out with an essay on Frontiers Magazine or an article. Say, it's like a pecking order, you know? Like, say, no, no. we need our rights first, you know, queer nation, the gays, you know. What's up with that? Before that, immigrants, illegal aliens, that's fucked up, you know. And then what's up with the leader of the homeless, you know? He goes with the Minutemen, yeah. Yeah, the leader of the homeless in downtown L.A., he goes... Fucking, you know, now he's going with the Minutemen, you know? So they're dividing and conquering.
Yeah, Humberto, you know, there's a lot of confusion out there. It's in the street. It's in the desert. There's a lot of confusion with a lot of angry people out there. And what everyone needs to, like, keep in mind is that the bottom line is that everyone's got rights. Everyone's got a right to live well, to live happily, to support their families. Everyone's got a right to work. And most importantly, you know, no matter where you're from, you know, you got the right to live your life. And not be persecuted, not to be stopped for your papers or anything else. And unfortunately, in the world we live in Bush's world here in the United States, 2006, you know, things are getting kind of hot. And the good thing is a lot of people are standing up and saying, no, basta, we're not taking any more. So, Humberto, man, you know.
I appreciate you saying that, Juan. I really do. Because you know what? A lot of these people, I'm a product of immigrants, you know. And I got dissed heavily, even by the Chicanos when I first came up. The first 3 years when I was here. You know, I still, you know what? I still have a lot of fucking pent up and bottled in anger against them, you know? I'm not going to fucking take it out on nobody because I'm a man of peace, you know? But I'm glad that you're saying this because, you know what? There is an uneasiness, though. You know, I see it even in the kids in the library or people waiting for the metro. There's, like, we're teetering on disaster.
Yeah, you know, Humberto, that's, like, totally, that's totally right on. You know, one of the greatest things about the march back there in March, I think it was, what, the 23rd or so?
25th.
You know, the coolest thing about that, and I was there, you know, I don't remember the dates, my short-term memory is so-so, but, you know, the coolest thing I saw there was everybody's in white T-shirts, you know, peace. Everybody's out there in peace, and there wasn't one single incident of violence anywhere in that march. 500,000 people and nothing but peace. That's beautiful.
All right, so you know what? Here's a challenge to all the oppressed movements, you know, the gays, the blacks, any other minority, you know, hey, you know, let's reason, let's resolve this, you know, with peace, with what's that, where's the United Nations on this? let's resolve this with peace. Otherwise, you know what? I don't want to see another Bosnia go down here in California or in the United States. You know, another revolution like that. Must we wait for another freaking revolution? Like Pete Shelley used to say. Must I wait for another revolution? Anyways.
You know, the revolution's got to be a velvet one, folks. It could be in white T-shirts, but then above all, it's got to be mellow. That's right. So I think Umberto's going to take another track here and we'll get back to some politics a little later.
Right, that's true. And we want to get some people to, some listeners of Cure Radio here to call up, you know, give your opinion. 213-252-0998. Because we could go on, you know, we could talk about the farm. You know, what's up with that? Where's Villaraigosa? Yo, Villaraigosa, I'm calling on you right now. Yes, I want to dream with you. You were there at the farm. Where are you now? You know, you got, you know, they need help right now. They need to be backed up. The farm, you know, South Central. Where are those millions, you know? I don't know if you promised. I don't know the exact, you know, condition and that. Also, Atenco in Mexico, you know what? They're raping women. They're killing. They killed a 14-year-old, you know? That's fucked up.
There's a lot of evil out there, you know, Humberto. A lot of evil in the mayor's mind. It's got, you know, his attentions in a lot of places. But all it takes is for him to say, hey, you know, the farm's important. The man's got some power. He's one of us. He's got to stand up for us, and let's hope he does his job, right? Everyone, be sure to vote next time around. He's a good man, but let him know who's the boss, the people.
The people. The people got to take the power back. All right, you're listening to Con Scene here at Cure Radio Los Angeles. We're going to get back into the music here. But you know what? The CDs are not playing, so let's choose something from MySpace or, you know, or the archive. Yeah.
Can our government be competent? Jimmy Carter says yes. Jimmy Carter says yes. Can our government be honest? Jimmy Carter says yes. Jimmy
Jimmy Carter says yes. Can our government be decent and open? As the 39th president, he has spoken, yes. Jimmy Carter says yes. As your president, I, Jimmy Carter, know it is possible to run a government efficiently without sin or any corruption. I will do my level best to run the government decently without any statement of eruption. Errors and wrongdoings I will reveal to the public. For corruption while I'm in office, I'll not barter. I'll stand tall like Old Glory, faithful to the Republic. Security will prevail, as sure as I am the president. President Jimmy Carter. Can a government be competent? Jimmy Carter says yes. Jimmy Carter says yes. Can a government be honest? Jimmy Carter says yes. Jimmy Carter says yes. Can a government be decent and open? As the 39th president, spoken, yeah.
It's my home.
Yes, yes. Jimmy, Jimmy Carter, our 39th president.
I turn my face to
de San Isidro. Procedentes de Tijuana traían la llanta del carro repletas de hierba mala. Eran Emilio Varela. San Clemente, los paró la emigración, les pidió sus documentos, les dijo de dónde son, ella era de San Antonio. Cuatro.
All right, so we're listening to Cure Radio Los Angeles. All right, we got something coming up, the Mario chose from MySpace, but first we're going to hear another Tigres del Norte tune, and then we'll come up with Dawood for you.
En un carro colorado traían 100 kilos de coca, iban con rumbo a Chicago. Así lo dijo el soplón que los había denunciado. Ya habían pasado la aduana, la que está en El Paso, Texas, pero en mero San Antonio los estaban esperando. Eran los rinches de Texas que comandan el condado. Una sirena lloraba, un emigrante gritaba que detuvieran el carro para que lo registraran y que no se resistieran, porque si no los mataba. Surgió un M16 cuando iba rugiendo el aire. El faro de una patrulla se vio volar por el aire. Así empezó aquel combate. ¿Dónde fue aquella masacre? Decía Lino Quintana, esto tenía que pasar. Mis compañeros han muerto, ya no podrán declarar. Y yo lo siento, sheriff, porque yo no sé cantar. De los 7 que murieron, solo las cruces quedaron. 4 eran del carro rojo, los otros 3 del gobierno. Por ellos no se preocupen, irán con Lino al infierno. Dicen que eran del candil, otros que eran del altar. Hasta por ahí dicen muchos que procedían del parral. La verdad nunca se supo, nadie los fue a reclamar.
All right, you're listening to Consin Cure Radio in Los Angeles, and we have a call here.
Hi, Quatoy.
Hello?
Secretary of Mutant Affairs. Nice soup. Henry, this is Logan.
Sorry about that.
A little late.
No, no problem. I wasn't able to get any Miles Davis, but ladies and gentlemen, we have Karen Sundell. Introduce yourself.
You know, that's a terrible introduction. You can't have Miles, but...
Oh, look in the archive. I have some cats here helping me out. See if we have some Miles Davis, even on cassette, perhaps. But tell us about... So he would have been 80 years old this Friday?
Yeah, basically, this is a huge year for Miles because, you know, I mean, just in 2006, he's been passed away nearly 15 years, and already he's been, you know, he's the sole jazz artist inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You know, he's part of the Smithsonian's launch for Jazz Appreciation Month, and, you know, that kicked off in April. And he would have been 80 years old this Friday, which is May 26th, and Concord Records put together a special collectible box set. It's their Prestige Sessions that include John Coltrane. It's a special 3-disc set with an extra, you know, bonus CD that includes some, you know, classic old performances on shows like Steve Allen.
Uh-huh. Now, how did you first find out about Miles? I know it's perhaps through your work, but maybe early on when, you know, you're a music aficionado.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, honestly, jazz was never, like, my first pick of music, that I've taken music, you know, in school music appreciation classes.
You're more of a rock and roller, aren't you?
Yeah, but the thing is I'm all over the place.
Yeah.
Really? I mean, in terms of music, but for some reason jazz wasn't wasn't just a mainstay, though I did, you know, I did go to jazz clubs and I studied some jazz and so on and so forth. But, you know, Miles, I think he incorporates
he's a
much
true
more
icon
than
of
jazz.
20th century.
Pardon me?
He's a true icon of you know, the 20th century.
No, absolutely. He's an internationally renowned icon. He's, you know, he's been knighted in France, which I don't know
oh,
if a lot
wow.
of people.
Why
know.
Do you suppose that jazz is more respected in other countries? You know, this is the United States that gave birth to jazz, you know, out of the blues, out of the black experience and everything. But why is jazz more respected, like in Stockholm and Paris and Italy?
Even Japan.
Yeah,
you know,
Japan
I think
too.
he's worshipped as a god in Japan. You know, I mean, I hate to say this about my own people, but we're really behind, you know, in terms of culture and art. And it's almost like we have to be told what's cool. I mean, many times a band has to go break in Europe and break internationally before they come out here. And it's like a regular part of their marketing plans. Or, you know, you could be a star in Germany and get no respect here. I guess if you're, you know, lucky enough to be making a living at doing something that you really love, I mean, the payoff's worth it. But, you know, I just don't think we have the, you know, that kind of same culture and acceptance. It's just the same reason we have to put everything in categories here.
Yeah.
Like if you have a certain kind of tour, whereas in Europe, music is music, and they're all on the same bill.
Yeah, in Japan, too. Hey, we found some Miles here on the Internet, thankfully. But please tell us again about this special box set and the occasion that...
Well, basically, yeah, it's you know, it's a 4-CD box set that's by, you know, put out by Concord, which is, you know, long associated with, you know, excellence in jazz, and it's I don't have my cheat notes with me,
it's
but
okay.
Basically, it's some great sessions that include John Coltrane. There's also original artwork by Miles Davis, who is also an artist
a
as
painter,
well.
Right?
Pardon me?
He was also a painter.
He was a painter, and he was an artist. He did all kinds of things. In fact, we're planning an art exhibit.
Yeah, there's a wonderful biography. I mean, you know, there's probably several, but one of them by Quincy Troop, you know, that talks about his life. And, you know, he had many, many epochs. You know, he of course, was a pioneer of bebop along with Dizzy Gillespie and Charlie Parker. And then he always kept evolving.
Absolutely, because he had his electric period, and
yeah.
I mean, he loved rock and roll. He loved R&B.
You know what? Not to get too cultural political here, but I think from that and other programs that I heard about him, you know, because he was born in, I think, in St. Louis.
Yeah, he's from St. Louis.
Well-to-do family.
Yeah, well, middle class. His father was a dentist. They called him Doc Davis.
But he always had, you know, he always had privilege, but he was always disdained, you know, because of the black, you know, the time period he lived in, and he expressed it through his music mostly, but he really hated to be, you know, he hated prejudice and to be looked down upon, you know, just because of his race, and not, you know, be appreciated for his talent.
Yeah, well, as I understand it, because I've been spending some time with, you know, with his nephew, Vince Wilburn Jr., and Aaron Davis, and they both, you know, toured and performed with Miles, so I've...
Perhaps we could get them here on a phone interview in the future, or even here live, Karen.
Yeah, no, I can certainly ask him to phone in, but he was saying that, you know, I mean, yeah, back in that era, you know, obviously it was a, you know, 50s, 60s, what have you, it was a different time politically and culturally, but Doc Davis, that was Miles' father, and his family were well-respected within the community.
All right. Hey, we found Round Midnight by Miles Davis. We're going to play it. But again, we have on air, ladies and gentlemen, here on Cure Radio, Concine, Karen Sundell. Tell us again briefly about this project.
Well, I mean, it's a 2006, a huge year for Miles. What we're talking about right now is the special four-disc Concord set. It's a prestige, you know, it's Concord, the record label. It's a prestige sessions with... Miles Davis and John Coltrane. It's a collectible for any, you know, jazz aficionado and, you know, obviously Miles fan. It also includes original artwork by Miles, and it's to commemorate his 80th birthday, which would have been this Friday, May 26th, and the set came out today. So what we're also doing with Miles, he's got some other projects going on, is we're planning an art exhibit of his original works, which will also launch a forthcoming project. He's got a Sony Legacy set coming out in August. He's also got a remix project called Evolution of the Groove with Carlos Santana and Nas, and that's coming out in September, and that's to tie in with the 15th anniversary of his passing.
Thank you so much, Karen, for calling and sharing this information with us, and for mentioning all this, because he was truly a genius in many ways, not only jazz, you know, his forte, but also I think, right now that you mentioned Carlos Santana, bridging cultures and showing the way, you know, and the way artists do, you know, so well.
Absolutely. Quick question. Did you read the Miles Davis autobiography?
Mm-hmm. I read part of it, yeah. You know, one thing that I'll share with our audience, even though I'm a smoker myself, he had his battles with drugs, you know, with heroin, and he kicked heroin, but he said that the thing that really, really took him down was cigarette smoking. And I think another great lady of culture and music, her name escapes me right now, but she helped him out a lot. What's her name? I can't remember her. But he also was a Ferrari aficionado.
Yeah,
you know,
he was big into cars and Ferraris.
Yeah.
He was
and women and you know.
he was a quintessential ladies' man. He loved the ladies and they loved him back.
Yeah,
a lot.
And he always styled too. He you see photos of him, you know, from the classic bebop period. He wearing the immaculate suits, but then throughout his evolution, you know, you see him, you know, in the 60s, 70s when he, you know, he helped usher in the whole new sound, the whole fusion. Those are real sirens, by the way. Anyways. He was a stylish, dapper gentleman.
He was a style icon. Remember the big fly 70 glasses?
Yeah.
He put those on the map, and those are certainly making a reappearance.
Yeah.
No, he, you know, I think something else that people don't, he loved horses. He loved his Ferraris. He also, what I'm told, was a great cook. He had a little black book. And he would hide it from everybody, and he wouldn't let anybody see the ingredients.
Yeah.
I was told that nobody can cook like him.
Yeah. I used to work at a bookstore, and I had a person once come in and tell me that he worked with Miles, and he didn't know he used to live in Malibu somewhere. But anyways, this person didn't know that it was like an interior designer or something. They didn't know that Miles lived there. And coming into this almost like a palace, like this beachfront house. It was so otherworldly, so exotic, so, you know, all these pelts and zebra stripes and just the whole atmosphere of his style, the way he lived was very singular, you know, very unique.
I can imagine. Yeah, he lived on the beach in Malibu Colony.
Yeah, Cicely Tyson was the lady that was just came.
Oh,
to,
yeah, that was one of his wives.
Yeah, she helped him out, you know, through herbs and to quit smoking and to cure him. Because you remember his voice got really, really bad. You
know, I kind of talk like him.
He could cuss too. You know, you could really tell it like it is. But anyways,
and that's the kind of guy he was. It seems like he really told it like it is. There's another. I'll have to send it to you because I know you're a huge fan. But it's It's the Miles Davis story, and it's a kind of a retrospective on his life, and you see footage of him, you know, that kind of goes through the decades, and you have testimonial from a lot of the players, you know, back when in the day, and then now.
Well, you know what? You're always welcome. We'll do like a full special on him, you know, because I also want to play some of his. He did a wonderful soundtrack for a rather special French New Wave film called Elevator to the Gallows. I don't know if you've ever seen that. But,
No.
I had an occasion to see it at the Royal Theater here in Los Angeles one night, but it's exquisite. It's such an amazing oeuvre of his work, you know, that, you know, this is just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, no, absolutely. He's just definitely very gifted, very, you know, ahead of his time. I was told that he doesn't, excuse the pun, miles ahead of all of his contemporaries.
Everybody, yeah.
When he did something, he never went back to it. He always was interested in moving forward onto something
always
else.
Always forward,
he
yeah.
He didn't like to repeat himself.
Did you know that he had an affair with Julia Greco in Paris when he was there?
you know what? He had a lot of girlfriends.
Yeah. Good for him.
He had a lot of girlfriends.
He really lived
that.
That
was the way of the day.
Yeah. Do you think in some way at all he's a little bit misunderstood?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think that I think that many people, you know, and this is, and again, I don't profess to be an expert on this topic, and you know, obviously, I've never met the man, and this is just basically from hanging out with his family members and people close to him. What I think is that when you have like an icon of that great stature and genius, everybody wants to. It's almost like, you know, moths to a light. Everybody wants to get next to it, and
yeah.
Everybody would like to know that person.
Yeah.
But I think that very few people really knew the true individual.
Mm-hmm.
I think people, you know, the perception of what he wanted to give, you know, his public,
yeah.
You know, certainly you knew that. But I think the real man, that was, you know, spared for, like, his inner circle.
Yeah. Well, again, Karen, I really appreciate you calling us you know, doing this. And please introduce the song. We're going to go in with... Around Midnight, I think it was written, I don't know if it was written by another jazz great, Monk, or I don't know if it was written by Miles, but this is a version that we have here. Introduce it, just say you are listening to Kill Radio Los Angeles, Consin with Humberto. This is Karen. And
you're listening to Kill Radio Los Angeles, Consin with my pal Humberto.
Thank you.
Good night, L.A.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Around Midnight, Miles Davis. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.